unconcerned or as not aware of some of the concerns and even the anxieties that many are facing today. That's certainly not what we want to do. We don't want to make light of anyone's difficulty or just God. I want to remind you that God is for us. I want to remind you that because He's for us, He will help us. I want to remind you that His Word tells us His mercies are new every morning. God is for us. I want to challenge you even. I want to challenge you to approach this current situation that we find ourselves in. Approach this situation and every situation, not with an attitude of fear and anxiety and worry. Listen, we're humans. We can't help it sometimes. Those thoughts and those things overwhelm us from time to time. But I want to encourage you today. I want to even challenge you today to approach your current situation and every situation that you'll face with an attitude of faith. The kind of faith that says the Lord is strong. The Lord is strong. The kind of faith that says He is able to accomplish things that we can't even imagine. He is able to provide for us a place of rest. The kind of faith that I want to challenge you with today is the kind of faith that says, I don't have to be so overwhelmed with anxieties. Listen, even I struggled with this past week. There was one night when I woke up in the middle of the night and I just felt overwhelmed with anxieties and what if and all of these. None of us are exempt from that. And so I had to remind myself and bring myself back to the place. Listen, He loves me. He's for me. He's not against me. He's for me. And He, in the quietness of His own way, He provided that rest that He promises for us. So if you're not sleeping well, if you're so overcome with worry and anxiety that you're not sleeping well and you're not able to get the rest that you need, let faith arise within you. He's for you, and He's promised to give His beloved rest. Amen. I want to challenge you to let the kind of faith rise up within you that says, I know because He's for me, He's going to help me. He's going to help my family. He's going to help my church. He's going to help my community. As the body of Christ especially is learning to navigate in this new environment, we want to issue that challenge. We want to remind you. Let faith arise within you. Let God be strong within you. Well, one of the ways that we can let that kind of faith rise up within us is as we read and meditate on God's Word. Hey, if nothing else is happening, I think this gives us an opportunity where we don't really have a lot of excuses. We're not doing all of this running around with all of these schedules. Instead, God is just bringing us back to our families and back to the simple things. And one of those things that I want to encourage you to dig into and really dwell on in these days is the Word of God. You'll be amazed at how your spirit is lifted. You'll be thrilled that God, through His Word, is able to speak to you and show you things and minister peace and life to you through His Word. And one of the passages of Scripture that many have been turning to in these days, myself included, is Psalm 91. I'm not unique in looking at this psalm and at this passage of Scripture during this time, but I do believe God would have us to look at it with fresh eyes today. Psalm 91. Actually, in last week's message, I encouraged our church family, declare this psalm. Psalm 91, it's a psalm of protection. And I challenged our church family, declare this psalm over your own life. Declare the truths of this psalm over your family, over your home, over your jobs. Declare the truth of Psalm 91. And hopefully you've been doing that because God's Word is true. And Psalm 91 gives us a place of refuge. But what I want us to do is I want us to take a look at the first two verses of Psalm 91 today. Because as you read through that whole psalm, all of Psalm 91, you're going to see all kinds of amazing promises and provisions and protections that God is granting to His people. But what I have found is all of the truth that we find in the rest of Psalm 91 is anchored right there in those first two verses. So I want to challenge you today. Let's look together at Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. And it reads this way. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Amen. Before I get into the content of what I want to speak on today from Psalm 91, I want us to recognize and hear and see what that psalm says. It says, I will say of the Lord. See, this is an important point. We can't lose this point. I will say. And so in a situation like we're facing today, and whether it's today or even tomorrow, because listen, tomorrow has its own challenges. And when we're through this current crisis, there'll be another crisis. It may not be global, but it may be right within your own family. And so hear what the psalmist says today. In the midst of all of this promise of protection, the psalmist says, I will say. This is an important point. And so I would ask you to ask yourself, in this season, what am I saying? In this season, what words am I speaking? Listen, I believe the scripture says that the power of life and death is in the tongue. The Bible says whatsoever things there are going on within your own heart, your mouth is going to speak those. And so I would ask you, as I've been asking myself this whole week, what am I saying? Are the words that I'm saying, is the confession that I'm giving, is it life-giving? Is it in alignment with God's word? I would even go so far to say that if we're not careful, we can even undermine the things that we're praying with the words that we're saying. We may be praying in faith and we may be declaring all of these amazing things from God in our prayers, but if we turn around and when we're not praying anymore, when we're just speaking one to another, or when we're posting on social media, are the things that we're saying in alignment with what we're praying? Oh, the psalmist says, I will say. I want to challenge you today. Guard your word. Guard your words. Say the things that are in alignment with God's word. Amen. So as we look at these first two verses, again, it lays a foundation for all of the other provisions, all of the other protections and promises that we read about in Psalm 91. They're found right there in those first two verses. Because what we'll see in these first two verses is that the psalmist, in just those two verses, he gives us four names for God. Four unique and independent names for God. Now, you know this already, but let's be reminded. Today we name our children just whatever sounds good to us. Well, I like that name. Emma or Seth, or whatever the name we choose that we really like. We name our children the names that we like. It may be something that's popular in culture. It may be a family member that we're naming them after. But we just choose a name because we like the way it sounds. Well, in Scripture, name has it's a much greater importance than just, well, I like that and that sounds good. Actually, in Scripture, you know this, but let's be reminded. Actually, in Scripture, a name is something that is given because we're either wanting that child, that individual, we're wanting them to reflect a certain kind of character. Or sometimes names are assigned based on character that has already been demonstrated. And there were times when God would change the heart and life of a person. And in doing so, He would change their name. Because a name was more than just something that you would write on a blank somewhere on a form, but it was actually something that revealed something about the character of the one bearing the name. Now, when we apply that truth to God's word and to God's name, we understand these four names of God that we see in Psalm 91 verses 1 and 2. They're not just arbitrary, but actually the psalmist is drawing our attention to four amazing and wonderful characteristics about the God who's going to give all of the provision and all of the protection in the rest of that psalm. Amen. You want to know what kind of God we're dealing with that's going to protect our homes and protect our lives and secure our families? The first two verses tell us there's two names in each of the first two verses. So here we go. Are you ready? A name, remember, a name reminds us who God is, and it reminds us of what he does. Amen? Who he is and what he does. A couple of more scriptures about this idea of the name. Psalm 124, verse 8 says, our help is in the name of the Lord, the one who has made heaven and earth. Psalm 91 down in verse 14 says this, because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. Amen. And then Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. The New Testament reminds us that God has given to Jesus the name that is above every name, that at his name, every knee would bow. Let's not lose the significance of the names of God. The first name that we read about in Psalm 91:1, it says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. That word Most High, that name given for God is Elyon. Elyon. He who dwells in the shelter of Elyon. And it translates this way, the highest, the most exalted one, the most elevated one. That name for God is used 46 times in the Old Testament. He who finds his dwelling place in the shelter of Elyon, in the shelter and in the shadow of the highest, most exalted one, that one that can shelter in that name. What does that mean? It means this, since he is the highest, since he is the most exalted, since there is none other higher than he is, since he is the highest, it means he's greater than anything. Hear that. He's greater than anything. So whether it's coronavirus that's got you up at night, or whether it's finances that keep you awake, or whether it's a loved one, whatever's going on that causes you to worry and get panicked, find shelter in the one who is greater than anything. He's more powerful than anything. You can't get any higher authority. How many of us have been to a store or a retail location somewhere, and we're not satisfied with the answer that we get from the girl behind the counter? And so we say, well, I need to speak to a manager. And so they bring out the manager, and we express to the manager our concern. And even the manager isn't able to get it all figured out for us and satisfy what we want to hear. And so we say, well, what about your store manager? What about your district manager? And we're going to take this thing all the way to Supreme Court. I'm telling you, there is no higher authority. When you take that thing to Jesus, you're taking it to the highest authority there is. You can't get any higher than him. He is the Most High. He's a big God. And hear this, he has the final say. I want to say that again. He has the final say. Listen, I respect our government officials. I thank God for them. We pray God's wisdom for them. We ask God to guide them and give them a heart that would do what is right for their citizens at whatever level. We pray for you. You need to know that. We pray for you. We may not always agree on everything, but that's not the time for this. This is the time to lift up those leaders. But I'm telling you, they are not the final authority. They don't have the final say. Elyon has the final say. The God that is higher than anything. He's bigger than any sickness. He's bigger than any lost job. Again, I'm not trying to minimize anybody's heartache or anybody's difficulty, but understand that job, my friend, that job is not really your source. He's your source. Find your shelter in him. Find your safety in him. He is higher than even that boss who laid you off. He has greater authority than even the owner of that company. Oh, that's easy for you to say. Listen, it's not easy for me to say. I understand. I have family members that are being affected by all of this and job lay. I get it. But I also understand there's a Most High God who has all authority. He has the final say. There's an old song that said it this way. He's bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. He's bigger than all my confusions, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. He's a big God. He's a big God. Dwell right there on that truth. He's a big God. Find shelter in that truth. Find shelter in the Most High God. Find shelter in Elyon. Amen. Amen. Then the psalmist goes on to say this. Psalm 91:1 again. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, he who dwells in the shelter of Elyon will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. That word is translated this way, Shaddai. He who dwells in the shelter of Elyon will abide in the shadow of El Shaddai. Of Shaddai. It means mighty one. This is one of my favorite translations of that passage. Shaddai means the mountain one. The one who dwells in and inhabits the high places. The mountain one. He is the Almighty God. He is the all-powerful God. He is the unchanging God. He's the unmovable God. I like this one. He's the unflinching God. He doesn't flinch. Nothing takes him by surprise. He is Shaddai, the mighty one. Now, how does that differ from that first name of God? Remember what we said. Elyon means the highest, the most exalted one. Shaddai means he's all powerful. So not only do we know him as Elyon, the highest authority, but now we also know him as the all powerful one. So he's almighty. He's the highest in theory, but now he has become all powerful on my behalf. Shaddai means that his ultimate authority is made manifest to us. He's not just the highest in theory. Now he has actually become that almighty God on my behalf. It's where the theoretical all-powerful God becomes the God who applies his power in my life. Amen. Amen. He is the highest God, and he is all-powerful on our behalf. It's where the application of his authority meets my life. Amen? Praise the Lord. Again, I want to challenge you. It's not just some theoretical names of God. The scripture says we can abide there. We can take up our residence there. We can stay there. We can receive strength there. That word abide. Remember, in John chapter 15, it talks about abiding in him. Not just being there, but actually finding our source and our sustenance and our strength in him. Abide there in the shadow of that Most High God and watch his almighty power begin to come to play in your own life. When we do that, we not only know his greatness, we actually experience his greatness. Amen. He's a God who's awesome in theory, but he's also a God who's awesome in power in my life. Amen. And then there's a third name that we see for God in Psalm 91, verse 2. It says, I will say of the Lord. I will say of the Lord. That word is Yahweh. I will say of Yahweh. Yahweh means this. He is eternal. He is ever existing. And then I really like this one. He is a covenant keeping God. It's the word that's also translated as I am. That word for God is given more than 6,800 times in the Old Testament. I think that might be important. That name for God is the one that is considered so holy and so awesome and so unapproachable even. Sometimes they even refer to Yahweh as the name. The name. Yahweh implies that he is eternal. It implies and it tells us that this God is constant. He's not ever going to change. It tells us that he's faithful. Well, why is that important? Because, you know, sometimes in times of crisis, in times of emergency, we run to him. We may not have been running to him all along, but now we're in a crisis situation. And so we find ourselves running to him for help. Can I tell you? He's not just the God who's there in temporary circumstances. He's not just the God who's there whenever we run to him in a time of crisis. Can I tell you? He was Yahweh before the coronavirus. And he will be Yahweh long after that virus is history. He is constant. He is eternal. He will not change. And because he's eternal, get this, you gotta get this in your spirit. This eternal God, though he is walking with us right now, because he's eternal, he's already on the other side of this current situation. He's already on the other side of the coronavirus pandemic. He's not wringing his hands saying, boy, I sure hope my people make it through this. He's already on the other side because he's eternal. And because he's eternal, and because he's faithful, and because he's constant, we understand him to be a covenant-keeping God. Whatsoever things he's promised to his people, he's faithful, and he will keep his covenant. We may be unfaithful. We may walk away from him. We may find our faith wavering at times, but he is constant. He's not shaken. He's not flinching. He's faithful. He's constant. He will keep his covenant, and he will fulfill his promises. And because of that, that's where this the psalmist says, I will say, because he is Yahweh, because he's faithful, because he's constant, because he will keep his covenant with me, I will say, I will declare to Yahweh, I will declare to myself, I will declare to anybody who happens to be listening, Yahweh is a covenant-keeping God. Yahweh is a never-changing God. Yahweh is a God that I can count on. He's a faithful God. He's a God who will keep his word. And because of that, the psalmist says, you are my refuge. You are my fortress. When there's no other safe place for me, I can run to him. And that never changing, always faithful, covenant keeping God is a safe place for me. I can find comfort and safety and shelter in Yahweh. Amen. And then there's one more name for God that we see in this passage of Scripture. And that is this. The psalmist says this, I will say to the Lord, Yahweh, you are my refuge, my fortress, and my God. My God. The one in whom I trust. That name is yet another different name. That name for God is Elohim. Elohim. And it means this, the Creator God. Wow. The Creator God. That one, that name is used for God more than 2,500 times in the Old Testament. The Creator God gives us this idea. He's the God who says it, and it happens. He's the God who speaks and worlds come into existence. He's the God who isn't waiting for the resources to be pulled together so he can do something. He's the God who can speak into the emptiness and nothingness that exists. And just with a spoken word, everything that we see has come into existence. The very life that we live right now is sustained by this Creator God. It's sustained by Elohim. Huh. Understand, listen. We got to step back sometimes. And I tell my wife this. I sometimes feel like I need to grab myself by my own shoulders and give myself a really good shake and remind myself of this God that I serve. Listen, ask yourself this question. If this Elohim, if this God can speak and the world comes into existence, just imagine what he can speak and create into your life and into this current situation. He's not wringing his hands waiting to find respirators. He's not panicking because they don't have emergency medical supply. Now listen, again, I'm not making light of that. We want to be in prayer for that. We understand that sometimes things have to work themselves out in the natural. But don't ever think that God is pacing the floor trying to figure this thing out. With a spoken word into your life, with a spoken word into your situation, everything can change. What may seem like nothingness, what may seem like emptiness, what may seem like faithlessness right now, with a spoken word, this Elohim, this Creator God, can change everything in a moment. And so all of the rest of the promises and provisions that we read about in Psalm 91, they find their anchor in these unchangeable, unshakable names of God. And so I've taken the liberty to do something. Now bear with me here, bear with me. I'm not claiming inspiration on this, but it sure did inspire me. I've come up with my own translation of Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. Hear this. Anyone who takes up permanent residency in the safe shelter of the highest and most exalted God, that one who is above all things, will live, prosper, and be fruitful in the shadow and safe harbor of the Almighty and unflinching God. I will say to this eternally existing, promise-keeping God, you are my refuge and my fortress. You're my creator. You're the one in whom I place my trust. Hallelujah. Anyone who takes up permanent residency in that kind of God. Listen, you're not only going to just, well, I sure hope I can just hang on. I sure hope I can just barely scrape by. No, that's not what we read here. We read here of people who are placing their trust in this kind of God and are finding a place of refuge and safety and not just cowering in the corner until this current situation passes by, but we're actually receiving strength and nourishment and growth and fruitfulness and prosperity in this covenant-keeping God. Listen, I want to challenge you today. Whether you're here, I have some folks that are here in front of me, our worship team, or whether you're listening to us on our Facebook broadcast, listen, I want to encourage you today. I know it's difficult, and I know that there'll be moments in the days ahead where we find ourselves wanting to resort back to that panic and that worry. Listen, we're only human beings. I understand. As more and more news comes out, as more and more people are tested, and it seems like things are getting worse and worse and worse, listen, understand there's a God who's already on the other side of this thing. And that's the God that we serve. That's the God that we find our strength in. That's the God that we say of Him, I will declare. I will say it out loud. I will remind myself and I will let anybody else know. That's the God where I'm dwelling in His presence. That's the God that I'm placing my trust in. We will get through this with the help and strength of God. And not only will we get through it, we're not going to look terrible on the other side. God is doing a work. How often do we talk about it's time for the church to get outside of the building? Well, here we are. Here we are. Let us rise and be the church in strength. Folks, I want to encourage you today. Find your strength in the Lord. Find your strength in His powerful name. Read back through that psalm over and over again this week. Declare it over your life. Declare it over your family. Declare it over our community. But understand it finds its rooting, it finds its grounding in the fact that it's not just some random God. It's not just some no-name God. it is this kind of God who's revealed himself to us in these ways that is promising this great protection and great provision for his people. Amen? Amen. Let me pray with you, and then we're going to let you go for now. Lord, we just bless the people of God today. We bless them, Lord, with an understanding of who you are, with an understanding that you are great and mighty and powerful, and there's nothing that you cannot and will not do on behalf of your people. Lord, may we find our strength and our source in your word and in your spirit and in your presence this week. Lord, when the enemy would try to come and bring fear and bring a worry and doubt, Lord, may we run to you. May we run to your word. May we find our strength and our shelter and our safety in you. And Lord, while we're finding that strength for ourselves, Lord, may you let the church, let the body of Christ rise in power and be that source of strength for others. Lord, there are people who are crying and hurting. They don't know you during this time, and so they're panicked and they're worried. Lord, let the body of Christ, let the body of Christ rise in power. Let the body of Christ rise with an authoritative word. He is our strength. He is our source. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hey, listen, God bless you. We're going to stay in touch with you as best we can through this venue. Give us a call. Feel free to put comments on our Facebook page. We want to remain in touch with you as best we can. I do want to thank you again for your faithfulness and your giving. We love you. We bless you in Jesus' name. We'll see you. We'll see you in the days ahead. Amen. God bless you. Amen.